Welcome to the newest installment of the Bulltime Investor. As usual, Corey Marlowe here with co-hosts Scott Hartman and Adam Johnston. And hey, today we've got a special guest here, Mr. Rod Crandall from E4 Insurance. Rod has been in the financial services industry since 2000, started off with mutual life insurance, and then he started transitioning to working with financial advisors and their best clients. In May of 2005, Rod is married to his lovely wife, Clara. They both enjoy life and believe in spreading love. Rod currently belongs to a professional resource group called the Business Succession Planning Brain Trust, which he founded in 2013. He also supports many nonprofits in the McHenry County area and is a diehard Cubs fan. I'll add that one. Beautiful. Rod, welcome to the pod. How are you, buddy?
Hey, doing great. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you start off telling us a little bit about E4 Insurance, your relationship in the life insurance world, and we'll jump into some questions after that.
Yeah, sure thing. So E4 is really an insurance brokerage firm, and so we bring resources in the area of life insurance, long-term care, disability, and annuities. I really serve wealth advisors like yourselves, where we help fulfill the financial plan effectively with these important planning items. So we end up working with over 50 companies. We probably have a couple thousand products, candidly, that are available. And what we really want to do is help motivate our clients to operate in their own best interest so they have financial plans that work no matter what might happen.
Awesome. Thank you. Adam, you want to fire off some questions to get us started?
Yeah. Rod, what was the primary thing that drove you towards not only the insurance business, but then maybe transferring from being an independent advisor to working with other reps?
Yeah, well, you know, I think like a lot of people, I didn't grow up thinking I wanted to be in the insurance business necessarily, but I was introduced to it because I was managing a restaurant in my teens, and there was a Northwestern Mutual agent that was the advisor for the owners. And I ended up meeting with him individually, and he set me up with disability insurance to protect my ability to earn an income, set me up with a money market account so that I could create an emergency fund. And I just got to know this guy real well, and I thought he was a really great guy, and he really cared about me, I thought, and really helping me reach my goals. And so I really like helping people, and I like the idea of having a plan just in general. I would consider myself a planner. And so they were recruiting me for probably 2 or 3 years. I was too afraid to do it because it was complete commission. But after about 3 years, I said, okay, I'll give it a try. And then I went to work with Northwestern Mutual for about 5 years. And I sure learned a lot there for sure. A lot about what to do, a lot about what not to do. But I wasn't very successful in that system. And I said, you know, there's really got to be a better way. And so that's when in May of 2005, I started working with wealth advisors strictly. And so that means the last 20 years, I've had the opportunity to work with around 200 wealth advisors and helping them and their clients do this important work. So that's sort of how I transitioned. I figured we're better together. I think the best way to deliver insurance solution is in the context of a financial plan for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'll jump in here just for the audience that's listening. So Rod is essentially an extension of Financial Partners. He's a resource for us as advisors as well as our clients. So when we're going through the financial planning process, uncovering life insurance needs, annuity needs, long-term care needs, especially on the more kind of in-depth, complex cases, we generally get Rod involved, pick his brain a bit, and then get the clients involved as a team. And because Rod is certainly the professional when it comes to the complex life insurance stuff. So we've had a lot of help and a lot of help for our clients as well. We're using Rod and his team for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Rod, I had a similar start in the business. I started at a small bank, but then I transitioned to insurance company and spent a couple years just trying to hustle and sell life insurance. And yeah. It's a whole lot different when you're calling someone and just trying to sell them an insurance plan to sell them an insurance plan versus when you're really sitting down with them and mm-hmm. and deciding within a true plan, like, okay, this is a piece that we're missing.
Completely. I mean, that's what I found. My words for that is that it's nearly impossible to develop a high trust relationship and sell insurance at the same time.
Right.
And so that process requires you then to push. And I don't like being pushed, and I don't like to push.
100% agree.
So by being able to work with wealth advisors, that trust component is already present because they're known relationships and they know the client. And then if we have a financial plan in place, now we have the right context to talk about insurance, because at the end of the day, nobody wants to talk about insurance. I don't, but I do want a financial plan that protects myself and my family. Right. 100%. And so being able to deliver that solution in that context has made a very big difference.
Completely agree.
I think we've all heard this when we're out in the business, but in insurance, kind of, you know, we hear "I'll be dead, who cares," which is a crazy thing to say, but we've all heard it. How do you kind of work through that thought process, Rod?
Yeah, that's interesting. I like that. I have heard that, of course. Yeah. It almost always comes from the gentleman, if I can be so bold.
Yeah, sure.
Right. Okay.
So I think about that and deal with that in a couple ways. Number one, I try to have these planning meetings with both spouses, right? Because of that reason. It's very important. Okay. Number one. But number two, you go, well, people really buy insurance generally because they owe someone or they love someone. Mm. Right. And there's this concept that you have to touch someone's heart before you touch their mind. Okay. What that comment isn't a heart-based comment. That's a math-based comment. That is, I don't want to talk to an insurance guy. I don't want to talk to an insurance company. I don't want to pay premiums. I understand that. It makes sense. But we have to understand what's important to you, and we have to determine what happens if what's important to you can't come to fruition. So I really focus on finding the compelling reason by which somebody would want to put something in place, which is generally because they love someone or owe someone. Now, by the way, some people don't care. And guess what? They're not going to resonate well with me, are they? And that's right. Okay. Right. Because it's easy for me to spend other people's money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I guess. So yeah, I want to kind of go through like the financial planning process, and for us, obviously, you know, we start with kind of the financial inventory and the risk analysis, and then kind of uncovering the needs. Kind of walk us through, I guess, your discovery process when, you know, we somewhat as the advisors, so to speak, uncover the potential need for coverage or for life insurance. And kind of what is that conversation like, or how does that start with you and our client or the prospect? And kind of talk us about how you uncover that need and land on a specific recommendation.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of a lot, but I can do that because every situation is a little bit different. But
sure.
Generically, it starts with the financial plan, right? Northwestern Mutual, what they taught me the very first day, I don't like this language necessarily, but they're right on. They said, we build financial plans that work whether we live a long time, whether we become disabled, or whether we die early. And so the whole idea is we want to have a solid financial plan. And so usually when I get referred to a client, it's after a financial plan's already been in place. It's after money's already been moved over and allocated. And now we're asking some version of what could go wrong to break this plan. And generically, there's two or three things that can break a plan. What can break a plan is me at 47 years old dying today, which means that my ability to make my next 20 years of income is gone. And so generically, if that happens, we have to answer the question, what if that happens, right? And that's where back into the financial plan. And so we say, okay, well, if that happens, maybe I need to shove a million or two into my portfolio invested with you gentlemen to be able to produce an income for my wife. So one thing that could break my plan is if I can't earn an income because of a death or disability. Another thing that might break my plan is I get to retirement. I call retirement a voluntary termination of one's money machine. You can't turn in your money machine voluntarily unless you have other money machines.
Right.
So now I've got other money machines, Social Security, you know, I've got some cash value life insurance, we've got investments, et cetera. What's going to break my plan then? Well, maybe a long-term care event will break that plan. Yeah. And so it's having a conversation again about reiterating what their goals are and what's important to them, and then ask them what's their plan if their assets don't come to fruition. The biggest asset I still have is my ability to earn an income. And that's going to be the case for some time for me. But at some point, my biggest assets are going to be my portfolio, and I got to protect both of them.
Yeah.
So it's really a focus on what insurance does, not what it is. people don't like what it is, and I don't like what it is either, right? It's a contract, and it's 40 pages long, and I can't get through it, right? But what it does is it makes sure that my wife is taken care of, because her plan and my plan are together, and if I'm not here, I want her plan to be able to continue. So yeah, really finding what's important to them and then helping them fund that, right? People don't need insurance. They need a mechanism to fund it. And the reason they use insurance is because you can get tremendous leverage in doing so, meaning you can buy dollars for pennies, right?
Yeah, for sure. To piggyback on that, Rod, I just met with a husband and wife with younger children about my kids' ages, 11 and 8, 11 and 7. And that was my exact question to them. The husband worked, the wife didn't. It's, you know, if you die tomorrow in an accident, mm-hmm. you know, what's your goal for your family? Is it that they continue to live the same way they're living today, live based upon what we've saved to this point? And his answer was actually, I'd like them to live better than we're living today.
Interesting.
So it's, you know, how do we put the right pieces in place to make sure we can do that? Clearly, we can't save enough money from between mm-hmm. today and tomorrow if the accident were to occur.
Yeah.
To provide that lifestyle that you're looking for. But you know, get back to your point on the leverage. It's the greatest way to be able to lever that up and protect.
Yeah, well, it certainly can be. I think generically what I'm always after, to kind of go back to the question here, is I don't think people give much consideration to this kind of stuff because they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk to an agent.
Yeah,
they don't want to
for deal. Sure.
But so we need consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we get consideration in a high trust relationship with a financial plan that's guiding us. And if we have consideration, then we can educate on what the options are, including not buying insurance. You'd be surprised how often I actually recommend that somebody doesn't buy insurance. You'd probably be surprised by that. Happened just this morning, right? But if we can consider and we can educate, then we know our options and then we can take action appropriately. Right. And then we're not hiding from the insurance guy. And we have, in fact, been considerate and intentional on what we want to do. And I think if you think about what I actually sell to the wealth advisor class, I sell the intentional integration of these kind of conversations inside the context of a financial plan, because it's not only clients that avoid this sometimes, it's sometimes advisors, because it can be a clunky process. It can be uncomfortable, especially once you have to start talking about people's health. Yeah. Right? That can become very uncomfortable for everybody in the room.
Yeah.
I guess from a broad standpoint, obviously the life insurance industry, you know, changing just like the investment world, just like the tax world. Mm-hmm. Have there been any significant changes within the last several years in the life insurance world that, you know, be advantageous or disadvantageous to our clients and prospects?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's, I can give you an example of what one I think is advantageous and one disadvantaged. So the first is the proliferation of artificial intelligence. This is creeping into life insurance. They're calling it accelerated underwriting. So when I started in the business in 2000, if you wanted to buy $500,000 of life insurance from me, we had to send a nurse out to see you to grab your blood and urine. We had to go get all your medical records for sure, like 100% chance that happens. Right. Well, today, because of what's available in public databases, that's happening maybe only a half or 25% of the time, whereby they can go hit a prescription database so they know what prescriptions you're on. They can go hit the Department of Motor Vehicle database so they understand what your driving record looks like, right? They hit something called a Medical Information Bureau, which I call the credit report for your health. They hit a thing called the Nexus Lexus. And so what I'm telling you is that I have probably 10 examples, one of which is an advisor that all of us know, that applied for coverage, got approved for the coverage, and placed the coverage in force in a 3-hour period of time.
Wow.
Now you have to be careful. You start promising a 3-hour turnaround.
Yeah.
Time, you're going to disappoint everybody.
Yeah.
But it's happened a dozen times, and that would never, ever have happened. And even though that's happening occasionally, we're seeing underwriting time is more closer to, say, 4 weeks, and it used to be closer to 3 months. So the speed by which underwriting occurs now, If you have health concerns, that's not going to be speedy. They're still going to want a paramedical exam. They're going to want all of your records, et cetera.
Is that true? Is that true for term, permanent, across the board, what you're talking about? It is,
but it's generically. So generically, it's true for term and permanent. It is generic across the board, but it's usually limited to age 50, age 55, age 60. It varies by company, by product. Okay, but generically, you can do that up to, say, age 55, and you can probably get limits up to $1 million or $2 million in that situation.
Wow.
That's awesome. Right now, if you're older than 60, those don't really exist because guess what? They want to look at you a little bit closer.
Sure.
Right. So that's an example of something that I think has helped. And that really helps when you think about, you know, we're all very busy and you go, well, do I really want to engage in this? And we're not specifically in it for the commission, but we start thinking, boy, the commission isn't very high. Do I really want to spend all of this time doing this? You go, Right. Well, we've just shortcutted that dramatically. And not only can we get it approved quicker, then commissions are paid quicker. So they're automating things. Now, insurance companies move really slow, but they are automating things. So that would be one thing I would say. And I think it's advantageous to consumers and producers alike.
So right on that, those automated approvals, simplified approvals, are they still ranking in the same levels? Can you still go up to preferred plus with those?
Yes, absolutely. So where that question's coming from is it is still considered fully underwritten, which means that you get the full Monty.
Right.
There's a distinction, which is what you're sort of referring to. There's fully underwritten, there's guaranteed underwritten, and then there's simplified.
Yeah.
And what you were describing is in the past, the simplified also meant smaller numbers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Well, no, this is full. It's just that they're fully doing it on an automated basis, but you have to be pretty clean coming through it.
Yeah.
Right. If you have even one flag, then they just put you in the regular process. And candidly, that's the hardest part is when you're talking to the 30-year-olds that are buying $2 million a term and you describe that there's a third chance this can get approved in a day, but there's a third chance that it's a week, and then there's a third chance that it's a month. When they don't get approved in the day, they go, well, what's going on?
Right.
Plus the younger people are used to pressing buttons, not like I'm sure. Not. Amazon's my favorite thing on earth. Just hit that button. Right.
Yeah. Sometimes you even forget what you ordered. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What about the disadvantages or one?
So one disadvantage I've seen specifically in the long-term care marketplace is that the underwriting approvals are tighter. They're being a lot more strict. And I think I see that in long-term care more than anywhere, but I really see it across all lines. And I think part of why that is that most people that are selling insurance nowadays are brokers. And when you're a broker, you're looking at several carriers, and these companies know that they're being spreadsheeted and they want to make sure that they spreadsheet really well. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're not able to really differentiate themselves much on price. If I pulled up term insurance for the top 10 carriers for you, Corey, individually, you would see that they're priced probably $5 apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't differentiate themselves that way. And they want to make sure that they get shelf space. And then what I think, and I can't prove it, it's an opinion, but what I think happens is on the back end, they're advertising something on the front end, and on the back end, you're not going to get it.
Mm.
Right. Which is a big reason why we have an in-house underwriter at E4. So we don't go directly into underwriting. We go through our underwriter first and say, okay, what do you think? And are they going to give us a hard time or not? And then selecting a carrier, because carriers have different sweet spots and different appetites for different types of insureds. So we do as good of a job as possible on pre-screening, because half of my job is helping clients think about this. But the other half is matchmaking them with the right carrier that's going to treat them the best.
Yeah,
I think that's
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that's so important, especially if there's a health issue, a known health issue in advance that we're going in for or doing some advanced planning. I think that's so important to be able to say, okay, let's go behind the scenes first. Let's build this out. Let's talk to an underwriter, see who's going to treat us favorably, who's not. Mm-hmm. That way we can best direct where we're going to go with this business versus, you know, just throwing it out there, taking the best price, and then be like, well, that didn't work. Let's try again. Or that didn't work. Let's try again.
Correct. And every time you do that, it's logged in the Medical Information Bureau.
Yep.
For the right kind of client and the right kind of case, which would generally be bigger, E4 has a process called exam first. And so E4 is set up similar to an insurance company with their own HIPAA form. And so for the right client, we can go in and underwrite them internally completely without formally applying for coverage. Literally underwrite them with labs, gather all their labs, get them examined, all their medical records, and then we know exactly what we're looking at. And what that allows us to do is that allows us to really understand everything, right? Because what happens is clients don't always tell us everything. I want to be careful about that.
Yeah.
But they don't always tell us everything. And so we end up being a little bit handicapped occasionally. But if we actually literally underwrite them, we saw everything and we know what the insurance companies are going to see. And by the way, if we don't want the insurance companies to see it, then we walk away. And then we're not logged in that medical information bureau.
Yeah, I think that's the wonderful part of, you know, the main differentiator between being a captive and an agent, right? And then being completely independent and transparent, right? I mean, on our side of the things, on the wealth management, financial planning side of things, whether it's an annuity solution or whether it's mutual fund or individual equity or individual bond, you know, we don't necessarily care. Right. We're not going to sell you a specific kind of cookie cutter pigeonholed sort of solution. It's what's best for the client. And I think the same thing could be said for what you do, Rod, and your process with E4 is that at the end of the day, we can play in this space with 100 different life insurance carriers and not being captive to just one or two and pre-screening them and obviously finding the right fit. For the client obviously drives that conversation, allows you to do that matchmaking piece to say, hey, you know, you smoke one cigar a month and you're, you know, standard, you know, this company historically has had the highest approval rating for the lowest cost of insurance. Right. I mean, I think that's great.
That's exactly right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we've talked a lot about, you know, the death benefit involved with life insurance and how it can be, you know, leverage used to buy that up. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about ways in which you've used life insurance or other insurance products in advanced planning, other benefits you've mm-hmm. talked about earlier, you mentioned cash value insurance policies, mm-hmm. but can you talk about how those have been used in advanced planning and the benefits outside of just a death benefit?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, if we answer that question, we got to go back to life insurance and where it is in the tax code. And so the part of the tax code that governs life insurance is called IRS code 7702. And among many things there, what it says is that death benefits and cash value grow on a tax advantaged basis and ultimately can be paid out on a tax-free basis by following some rules. The reason that they have those rules is because they want to protect widows and orphans effectively. So a lot of resistance to putting insurance in place. So one of the ways that they lower that resistance is create very tax advantaged ways. And so to your point now, with that as a backdrop, what I do personally and a lot of our clients do is they do something that we call overfunding an insurance policy, where we take whatever the insurance cost is and we stuff a bunch more money inside of that contract. So you can think about a life insurance contract being an umbrella, and it's a tax umbrella. So we need the coverage. One of the things that I do personally is I fund a policy like this because when I'm retired, I'm going to be able to pull money from my policy and do so without paying any taxes. And so that's going to be a supplemental retirement vehicle for me. So that'd be one example where people are utilizing that as a supplemental retirement vehicle. Now, yes, it costs more than other investments because you're buying insurance, but then it's tax-free. So at the end of the day, the calculation is what's the cost of insurance versus what the cost of the taxes would be. And so that can be appropriate for those people who can't fund Roth IRAs, for example. They're over the limit. They're completely max funded on their qualified plans, et cetera. I'll tell you that strategy is probably overused, in my opinion, in the industry. Mm-hmm. But for the right people, I think it can be a very, very powerful vehicle. Now we go more advanced on that. It's always about liquidity, right? So there's something called an estate tax that's both a federal and on a state basis, depending what state you live in. And so you might have a lot of wealth, but you might have hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars due at death. And we may not have the liquidity to do that. Because where's my wealth? It might be tied up in my family business. It might be in the farmland that my family owns. It might be in the buildings that we create. And so insurance at the end of the day, meaning at death, ends up as cash. And so having liquidity inside of an estate can be very advantageous. And so we're utilizing that in estate planning purposes, utilizing special trusts. So not only can you do what I described, but you can put together something called an irrevocable life insurance trust. And by placing a policy in a trust like that, not only do we get the income tax-free distribution of the death benefit itself, but we get it removed completely from the taxable estate. Right. So there are some unique things that can be done on that basis. And then the third example I'll give you is we work a lot with business owners. And so if you're a business owner and you have a partner, what happens if that partner dies? Well, now we might be partners with that partner's spouse, mm-hmm. who's probably a wonderful person, but isn't in the business. We go, well, how can we facilitate that buyout? So again, it's a liquidity thing.
Right. And
so we can use insurance to fund buy-sell agreements. We can also use that insurance to provide what they call key person coverage. Okay, so you guys, I know, are familiar with ERISA plans. Those are qualified plans like 401ks and the like. They have a lot of rules with regard to who can participate and what limits you might participate in. So another thing that we do is we utilize what we consider to be non-qualified plans, where we utilize insurance vehicles as a funding vehicle. But what we can do is we can pick and choose those that we need to or want to protect, and we can create a golden handcuff often for these types of people. So that's really high level on three strategies. Candidly, if we drilled into any one of those, each one would be 1 hour or more.
Yeah, right.
But that gives you three examples of how to do that.
Awesome. Okay. One last question for you before we wrap up. Obviously, September, Life Insurance Awareness Month.
Yep.
So I guess what are some things that individuals should be looking at and or reviewing just on a high level?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, if you or your clients haven't had an insurance review, you probably need an insurance review every 3 years because things end up changing. Where are we? How's our health? What was our portfolio look like? So just engaging in an inventory. Right. I know you guys are doing a lot of that inside of your client reviews. But I would say, you know, if we're going to be aware for Life Insurance Awareness Month, we need to be aware of, well, what do I have? Right. And I'll tell you, the average person really doesn't know that much because I ask people all the time. They're like, boy, I don't really know what I need.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So that would be one tactical thing. Secondly, there happens to be a great website, in my opinion, called lifehappens.org. And so lifehappens.org is actually the one that sort of created Life Insurance Awareness Month. And they have a lot of good videos on there because it's always about what insurance does, not what it is. And I'll tell you, who loves insurance are beneficiaries of insurance.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And you might take that, oh, I got a bunch of money. That's not where I'm coming from. The money helps. But you go, no, this person demonstrated their love. They're gone, but our kids are still in the school that they meant to go to, and we still get to retire. And so really understanding that impact, you know, I just had a business owner of mine just pass away three weeks ago with another advisor that we're friends with. And we placed $1.8 million of coverage inside of a buy-sell agreement. This is a closely held business in our community. And I can tell you that they're very appreciative that we did that. And they're mourning the loss of a brother, of a father, of a son. But meanwhile, we were able to tell them, hey, we have the liquidity that you need, that not only can this company maintain and continue its existence, but we can make sure that the widow is taken care of because of this liquidity that we have. Right. And so it's really, again, what insurance does, not what it is. And that's what I think I want people mostly to be aware of when you think about Life Insurance Awareness Month.
Awesome. That's a great message. Yeah, well, sure. Rod, we really appreciate you joining us today. And we'd actually love to have you back if you're willing at some point, maybe take a deeper dive into some of the strategies. And like you said, you know, some of these topics you could talk for an hour. So,
yeah.
Awesome, man. Thank you guys. And on behalf of myself and Adam Scott and the Financial Partners team, we really appreciate what you do for our clients and our prospects, and we really value the relationship. So appreciate
right back at you. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rod. Thank
you, Rod. All right, guys. Well, until next time on the Bull Time Investor, we'll catch you then.
Thank you.
Thanks. Take care.
The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC.